You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for occurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stopped, opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
This has been a rough morning, and Mike Ryan, I don't know what tomorrow is going to look like. Are we going to attempt to do a show tomorrow based on our current conditions where we are adrift from the shipping container? We're going to bring Billy in here in a second by phone line because this show has been a challenge today. No engineers around here, no internet, no nothing.
I'd say it's been a banner morning.
Like,
this is old school radio.
I've enjoyed it. It's not even radio. It's honest to God, Stugatz, this is a true story. The formation of this show in my mind before 20 years ago, before I met you or before anything, was phone calls with my friends. It is Greg Cody being his funniest on the phone. I'm not even making that up.
Yeah.
It's just these conference calls 25 and 30 years ago where we would howl and snort with laughter and play the looks like game and do all of this cruddy stuff that we do around here. But Mike, I need some help here bringing in Billy because I don't know what he's been doing all morning. We're bringing him in by phone.
Well, let me address your first question that you threw my way is if we're going to be here tomorrow. That might confuse a lot of the listeners because the established workflow that we've had here for about a month has been Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. Now, that hasn't stopped Dan from every Sunday morning texting me what are the days we're working this week. So, inevitably, Dan has a conflict. But we're going to double our output for Super Bowl week. We're coming at you tomorrow, hopefully. Because of the established workflow that I mentioned, I actually told the Clevelander they could shut down power to the entire grid because a lot of stuff needs to be done on Wednesday morning, 6 to 8 a.m. So the technical difficulties that we've had today with the internet being out, I was actually worried about tomorrow. So my guess is tomorrow will somehow be even worse than today, Dan.
All right. All excellent.
Right. All right.
So we bring in Billy here. And how have you spent your morning, Billy? Because this is a... You have never been available at this hour. You are always working, and because of everything that's happened right now, you've gotten to spend the day just sitting at home, not working?
Hey, guys, it's Billy. No, I wouldn't say not working. I've been, you know, organizing. March Sadness is coming up. But more importantly than that, I've been watching First Take, and it has been, I want to say, just because of our schedule, probably, what, like 5 or 6 years, if you don't include off day, since I've just been able to enjoy First Take? What a show. What a show this First Take first take is.
Who won today?
Well, what's happening there this morning? Because we were just talking about, we have never felt, it's weird what I'm feeling. This is not Super Bowl week for the show. I have spent a decade railing against Super Bowl week. And the first time I get kicked out to the curb, I'm like, hey, can I have some Super Bowl week? Can I have a little bit? And it just makes me feel like a total fraud on the inside because we're in a studio with no shipping container. We're talking to Adam Lefko, who doesn't have anything to do with the Super Bowl. We have not had a Super Bowl guest. And last time, the Super Bowl was literally in our backyard. Yes. That show you're talking about was by the pool outside. But now there's nobody working out there. We're in an abandoned hotel. Our futures are at risk. And I'm looking around a dark and cold room at just Stugatz and Mike. And we're calling Billy on the landline. And Billy, you're telling me First Take wins. That First Take is doing it better than we are today.
Well, we are, what, 42-43 minutes into First Take, and you wouldn't know it from watching that it was Super Bowl week for them either yet. I think that's going to pick up later in the week. Right now they're having Jared Allen on. This is their first guest of the day, if you don't include Swagoo, who was sitting in. Swagoo, by the way, wow, he went straight from Get Up to First Take. I don't know how they did that so quick, but he ended. He had the last words on Get Up, then he started First Take. They have covered in 42 minutes, from what I remember, two topics so far. One was Tom Brady, and two was Aaron Rodgers. And the Tom Brady was, will Tom Brady play after he's 45? Because he said he might do that. And Max started by saying, he absolutely will. Who would question him? And then everyone pointed out, Max, you questioned him. You're the last person we want to hear from on this. And then that argument went on for about 20 minutes where they were just, you know, going on and on, just pounding on poor Max the whole time. And then we moved over to Aaron Rodgers. And whether or not Aaron Rodgers and how that's going to end with the Packers. And Stephen A. let him off the hook. And then everyone said, Stephen A., if this was any other quarterback, you wouldn't be letting him off the hook. And then that went on for about another 21 minutes. So we're 43 minutes in, and Jared Allen now has joined the show. Swaggy's left for the moment. I don't know if he's coming back. Stephen A., by the way, wow, he's aging gracefully. He's got a little salt and pepper going on now. I hadn't noticed that. I don't know if this is because it's HD or I just haven't been paying attention, but he's got a little gray in there. I like it. I like this First Take show. It's pretty good. Have
Billy,
you checked it out?
Billy, I just saw a clip.
He's just getting started.
I'd like to hear more. I can't wait to hear more. But I just saw a clip yesterday of Stephen A. Smith sort of in his prime as Stephen A. Smith, where he was, I don't know, this had to be, is this before his show got canceled and then he became a star with his own show? Or is it after it got canceled and then he reinvented himself and created, like...
You mean the cold pizza show.
The Stephen A. story, not the cold pizza show. He had his own show on ESPN2, an interview show. He was going to be...
Quite frankly.
And his own show. And then he left ESPN, went into politics, and has totally rehabbed himself. But I saw an old clip of him ripping Kwame Brown as part of the Pau Gasol to the Lakers trade. And that is an enduring run across television that dude has had. As Max turns gray and looks up one day and realizes, wait a minute, I can't believe that this show turned into I Have to Be Stugatz. I have to be the New Yorker who gets buried here by Stephen A. every day, and Stephen A. is feeding on my soul as Max withered up. He's dying over here, and Billy's eating it up. Stephen A.'s still throwing haymakers, Super Bowl week on a Tuesday.
Yeah. And Max, by the way, looks less gray. I don't know if we ever addressed that or that was just a conversation that we had off here that we were worried about Max. He looked very gray on TV for a long time. Not like his hair, all of him. Like his face looked gray. Everything looked gray. But he looks great today. Stephen A., I'm choosing not to believe that he had a show that was canceled because he's had about 60 shows since that have just been added. I think he has a new show now too, right? Doesn't he have a new show? Also, my TV guide, I don't know what it is. But anytime SportsCenter is on, it just says Stephen A. Smith SportsCenter. So I don't know if that was part of his new deal where they just renamed SportsCenter Stephen A. Smith SportsCenter, or that's some sort of glitch in my TV guide. But every time, ooh, wow, Stone Cold's coming on later. That has to be a Super Bowl week thing, right? Why would Stone Cold be coming on? Oh, wait, I know why he's coming on. It says it. Stone Cold is coming on to predict his Super Bowl winner. It is Super Bowl week, guys. Stone Cold.
Stephen A. owns SportsCenter. That's why it says that.
He hosts the one before the big NBA night, but I like your way better.
Yes, Bill, okay. I do have a question for Billy because he mentioned March Sadness. Is there anything in the way of a little tease preview, perhaps, you can give myself, Dan, and
well,
the audience?
Before you do that, though, are we even going to be able to do this anymore with Kirkchin? Because the key staple, are we going to have to retire the looks-like game or do it differently? Kirkchen wants to be on with us, but I don't think he's allowed to be on with us, and I don't think we want to be sending Kirkchen into a big fight with management about being on with us. He's got the credentials to win that fight, but what are we going to do there? Can Kirkchen be a paid guest? I'm legitimately asking, what's going to happen to the Looks Like game if we can't use Tim Kirkchen?
You're still asking me questions over the air, huh?
Okay, I'll ask it not on the air eventually. I don't know the answer to that question.
The answer's always been no. I got a bank South Beach session with Mike Schur and Tim Kirkchen that's totally innocuous that I can't
play. All right, well, speaking of all that, okay, a South
don't
Beach...
Don't do it with Jeff Van Gundy, by the way. That never worked.
No.
It never worked again. Jeff Van Gundy never got the game. Thank you, Billy. You're so right. Jeff Van Gundy, he looks like the Queen of Hearts. There's no disputing it. He's an all-time number one seed, but Jeff Van Gundy never understood it. In fact, Billy, if you can get all the Jeff Van Gundys, I think he might be one of my favorite categories. I'd like to just go through the Jeff Van Gundys with you. But before you get out of here, because this week has been crazy, it is something that you miss, yes or no, ESPN and Radio Row. Because last year at the time, you were in the center of everything. You were palling around with Derrick Henry. You were bringing pastelitos to people. The Super Bowl was in Miami. You were on Radio Row.
We had James Wilder, I think.
You look really Dante.
Kenny Chesney.
Deontay Wilder.
Wilder. Yeah.
Who is did I call James Wilder's an old running back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That's
going to
start happening around here. Yeah. Yes, but you had fun. Do you miss ESPN and thing. Radio Row? There it is, Super Bowl week.
And my mom's dead.
Aqua?
Oh, my God.
What happened?
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
So, Billy, are you beginning to regret your decision to be on the pirate ship this month as we're all floating around here and things today have been particularly disastrous? We let the engineer, the one guy holding the whole thing up, take the day off after three weeks. Yeah, Bob's gone. Yeah, Bob was given the day off, a day off, and the whole thing collapsed. And now we're just calling you on the phone, and you're getting to watch First Take, and we're getting basically a Mystery Science Theater view of Billy watching First Take for the first time in 6 years. And so do you miss ESPN already? Do you miss First Take? Do you miss the Super Bowl week?
Well, I'm glad that you had me on. Thank you for having me on. But I'm not going to lie. It's kind of interrupted my First Take. I had to put it on mute. I have no idea what Jared Allen's talking about right now. I don't know who he's picked. You know, I have a theory about this, Bob. Is it possible that Bob, when he left, just unplugged something and he's like, you know what? They're going to give me the day off, but if they figure this out without me, then they're going to realize maybe they don't need me. So let me just unplug some things, maybe just unplug this yellow wire into the red outlet and the red into the yellow. And he comes in tomorrow and he's the big savior that fixes everything.
It'd be smart.
Mike has him on Forbes again.
It'd be
right?
smart. Well, I'm going to put him on Forbes personally. I've been writing the checks. It's not on the checks, he's not Bob. He's Robert on the checks. So, Billy, when you're watching First Take, when you're missing the Super Bowl, how are we going to recreate, as a producer of this show, the Stugatz barfed through question, what's the single most important thing? I think it's the only part of Super Bowl week we need to do. What's the single most important thing the Bucs have to do to beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl? But if we're not going to have any guess, it's the only thing we need for it to feel like Super Bowl week around here. I don't think we literally need anything else, but that requires guests. It requires a working phone line. It requires us not to be kicked out of the entire sports mainstream media.
I mean, maybe tomorrow, Billy, we could just litter the show with a bunch of old school Radio Row guests, and perhaps we'll just ask them that question. You know, Mike Golic, Gil Brandt.
If the internet works, we just go through one after the other and ask that question again and again and again and nothing else. and get out and have some sound from old, because how else are we going to do this? We are totally outside the grid right now. This does not feel like Super Bowl week around here. I can't complain about not being a part of a Super Bowl week. And furthermore, that's my go-to device. If I don't have that, what do? I miss the Super Bowl all of a sudden. I'm sitting here lamenting, no, give me the content of Gil Brandt giving his opinion on what happened to the Cowboys this year.
And I'm missing, it's all going down here, Dan, at Radio
That's
Row.
Right. Just slapping people on the back, giving them a pastelito. Selling some 1-800-Flowers. You missed the whole thing.
I got a prediction from Saquon Barkley last year.
That's right. So, Billy, what do you miss the most? What can we recreate tomorrow to make it feel like Super Bowl week around here? To make it feel more like what First Take is going to feel like tomorrow?
Well, the first thing that we haven't done that we do every year on Super Bowl week that kind of kicks off the week, we haven't had a certain someone come on and give his prediction and maybe play some music for us.
Fake Howard Cosell.
By phone? He's going to do it by phone? Kenny G, we're going to ask him to hold a phone up and play the...
Yeah, well, that's how he's always done it.
Mixed up there.
A phone up to our phone and through our tin cans and walkie-talkies.
It would have been nice to see him over Zoom.
Billy. Well,
Bob's back tomorrow. He's just going to fix the plugs that he unplugged. So
tomorrow is going to be worse than today, because at least the lights are working and we're still putting out a podcast.
Generator? What if you go to Costco and buy a generator?
Billy, we don't have a printer.
Yeah. A podcast would be a very soothing experience with a constant hum of a generator going on in the back.
Billy, do you have in front of you somewhere that Jeff Van Gundy looks like? Does your computer, this is not the best way to do this. Usually there'd be a production meeting, or at least a production meeting in one of the commercials. Billy would scramble, not listen to the show, would find the Jeff Van Gundy looks like, because I'd requested it 3 minutes earlier. But in the moment, he is on the phone with us doing the radio show, just speaking into his phone. So I don't know if you've had time to look at your computer and find the Jeff Van Gundy looks like. Have you?
I have, Dan. There's 21 of them. Do you really want to read 21 of them?
I think I want you to read them. Do I not? Because what are you going to do? Text them to me? Am I going to? Our internet's not working.
He can take a picture of it and text it to you. Yeah.
You want to take a picture of it and have me read them? Because I could read some Jeff Van Gundy. You can filibuster by just telling people what's in the March Sadness tournament this year, what you're excited about, because I'm sure we've got more than 64 great ones, right?
Ooh, yes, Dan. This year, the March Sadness tournament is going to be looks like. So we're gonna have those, and then there's gonna be NIT. That's also looks like, and we're gonna have those. And in total, when you combine the 68 because of the playing games plus the 32, we're gonna have 100 looks like in contention for two titles.
Have you decided the voice? Who's the voice yet? Now we can't use any of the Rinaldis, any of the Bob Lees. You guys have gone through
We can use Rinaldi,
Oh, we can use Rinaldi. That's right.
Yeah.
Right now, the boss is Goat Piss Mike, so...
I love Goat Piss Mike.
Someone better than that.
That's a great idea,
That would really be great. Yes.
Goat Piss Mike as the voice of March Sadness.
Oh, perfect.
You are brilliant. Yes. That's a great idea.
Amazing.
He's hired. Amazing. There's nobody better.
Really?
Well, I don't know if we can afford him.
That's the best we can do, Goat Piss Mike.
That is the best we can do. He's got a great voice. I'm telling you, the guy could do voice acting.
He's going to be our voiceover guy.
Yes.
Goat Piss Mike.
I love it.
We're a pirate ship, man.
All right.
With no internet.
Billy, do you want to read some of these Jeff Van Gundys, or do you want me to?
No, I can read them. I'm a good reader.
All right. So are you ready to do 21 of them?
Let's not say exactly 21, just in case I miscounted, but... You know, in the 21 ballpark.
All right. Are you guys in agreement with me that, well, first of all, are you in agreement with Billy that Jeff Van Gundy gets the looks like game less than anyone who's ever been on our show?
100%. Yes.
Cosign.
And he doesn't understand why it's funny, and it's because he doesn't think he looks like these things that Billy is about to read. His brother does. His brother gets it, but this goes right by the head of Jeff Van Gundy. He doesn't understand what we're doing. He doesn't think anything looks like what we say it looks like. So go ahead. What do you have here, Billy?
All right. Jeff Van Gundy looks like your uncle's ghost.
Your white uncle's ghost.
Ready?
Yep.
For another one?
Yeah.
All right. Jeff Van Gundy looks like the senior senator who has spent his career building towards the passing of a single signature bill, only to have it undermined by the young, charismatic newcomer, Field Yates.
Keep going.
All right, Jeff Van Gundy looks like the Queen of Hearts. We know that one. Yeah. Jeff Van Gundy looks like the nuclear expert kidnapped and forced to help the villain in a Steven Seagal on-demand movie.
It's been fun, as no movies have been made, to just sort of scan and find just a batch of Seagal movies where you could see his face inflate over the years. I recognize it because it's like a mirror. Go ahead, Billy.
All right. Jeff Van Gundy looks like the nervous scientist who helps develop a chemical weapon for a Russian spy network, then is betrayed when he finishes it and slowly whispers to 007 as he's dying, "Get out of Tangier before it's too late." That's from a Remember When?
Yes. Like, so good.
Yes. Yes. So maybe good. We should read some of these to Adnan. Maybe that's the next incarnation of it, because Adnan is a former ESPN employee, but that would welcome in Adnan past security. So we've got to take that under consideration. What else you got?
Jeff Van Gundy looks like the movie villain's put upon lackey who becomes more and more aghast at the evil plans finally standing up to the movie's class.
Is someone dying in your...
Yeah, what is happening?
Is your dog okay?
Is there a dog?
Is someone dying?
Dog. Yeah, I didn't know if you could hear that or not. I was a little concerned about
it. Well, your
that.
Confidence went to hell in the read because you were feeling insecure.
Sounds worse than Cody.
And Finney.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I think she wants a treat. You want me to handle that?
You're
going to
reward that behavior by giving her a treat? That's
the worst thing you can do.
14. What do you... Just, die a miserable death? That's sad.
Sure, go ahead.
Gundy looks like an evil scientist and competent assistant who always unwittingly spoils the scientist's evil schemes. Notice I moved away from the one I couldn't read.
Yeah. How do you play?
Van Gundy looks like a spelling bee official.
That's a good one.
It's important to go from the long ones to the short ones.
How about this? Jeff Van Gundy looks like a nervous speaker who has multiple errors in his PowerPoint presentation.
He looks like the Eagles coach. Isn't that what the Eagles coach sounded like? Like, he sounded like he realized as he was talking, "I'm an imposter and everyone can see it."
Ooh, I emailed that sound today. If the internet works, it's somewhere. What happens to emails when the internet doesn't work? Do they just live out there? Are they just floating out there until Bob plugs the things
well,
back
what's
in
some other sound?
Them?
What's some other sound you felt like we should have gotten to today? Because I haven't had access to your sound choices. What was the stuff you were excited about?
There's
today?
Internet on your phone, you know.
Great idea. You know what? I'm going to play it on my computer through my phone, and you can hear the sound. How about that?
Excellent.
What's that going to sound like?
So, Mike, he wasn't able to send you any of the sound today that he had?
No internet, Dan.
I mean, I have it on my phone, so I was able to see it, Bill.
You want me to play some clips here? Just tell me which
one. Let's go as low budget as we could possibly do it. Let's just
get it off your phone.
I'm going to call Ron McGill too while you do that.
All right, go ahead. Ron McGill will be part of our post game show. Or no, I'm sorry, I got the times confused. Ron McGill will be before this. Very good. Let's keep it moving.
All right. So, what do we want to play here? Do we want to play the woman that was arguing with LeBron? Do we want to play Nick Sirianni? Do we want to play some Gronk sound? Or do we want to play a 3-minute intro to the BFPI gala?
Go ahead and do
Gronk. Gronk.
No, do LeBron. Do LeBron first. We haven't played any of that sound.
All right, hold on a second. Ready? Here we go. Tell me if you can hear this.
LeBron kicked out of the game for talking shit to LeBron. For talking shit to my husband. This is such. Listen, let me tell you. LeBron James looked at my husband during the game and cussed him out. And I stood up and I go, "Don't talk to my husband. Talk to my husband one more time and I will you up." And he started fighting with me. He goes, "Shut your mouth, dumb." And I go, "You shut your mouth."
All right, very good. Billy, give us all your thoughts there. It wasn't a great listen, but you can tell us what you thought as you viewed that.
Oh, did you hear that? How was the quality?
I could hear it, yeah.
Yeah, we heard it.
It was pretty bad, but just give us your thoughts on that story.
It was not the best. Maybe let's not yell at each other. Not the nicest thing. LeBron, though, I mean, honestly, you're going to get someone kicked out in an audience of like 50 people. What's that about?
Well, he said he didn't want her kicked out. That's what he alleged.
I mean, that's what he has to say, though. He wanted them kicked out.
Is he going
to
get any...
I don't want him kicked out. You could say, no, she can stay. Let's be real. LeBron is running what's going on there. They didn't just decide we're going to kick this person out. Come on, Dan, come on.
So
I wonder
naive.
When they're going to get to this on First Take.
Okay, they will get to it at some
they're
point.
Spend an hour
what's the rest of the sound you have? Go ahead and play some more sound, and let's just go through Billy's takes through his phone. What's the next sound you have?
Here we go. Gronk, remember him? Hold on 1 second. Yesterday was media day, kind of, but on Zoom. So here's one of the things that Gronk said.
What do you remember about those virtual workouts the first time with Coach?
Oh, man. Oh, I tricked them. I tricked them a few times because I would bring a shirt, my shirt out, and then I would bring another shirt out. So when I'm running the sprints, I would film myself like 15 times for that session, that workout session. But I would run it in a couple different shirts because you only had to send it in like two or three reps. So then when the next time came, I didn't have to film myself because I already filmed myself running in a different shirt every time on that one day. And he hasn't had a clue to this day that I was tricking him about half the time.
That got to the Super Bowl outsmarting his own coaches.
I can't believe that's still playing in Super Bowl.
It is so great. It is so great, Billy, that Gronk tricked his coaches by just changing shirts so he didn't have to run sprints. He's like, ah, bleep it. I've had a bunch of surgeries. I came out of retirement because I'm a 6'7 polar bear that can always be open if you just throw the ball totally in my hands. I'll never not be open. So I'll come out this season for Tom and just block for him. I'm the greatest tight end ever. That's fine. I'll just roam around here and block. And every once in a while, I'll break somebody's season with a one-yard catch for 29 yards.
It's so good. Do you think he actually tricked his coaches or Aaron's? It's like, what are we going to do? What am I going to do? Put him in timeout? Like, just whatever. Who cares? Gronk changing his shirt. Because I wouldn't be surprised if Gronk is changing his shirt at the beginning of every clip that he sent in, right? Where he's taking off the previous shirt. He's like, all right, now Tuesday.
He's sending 10. He's sending
Tuesday now.
He's sending 10 clips, all of them in a different shirt, all of them one sprint, a poorly edited video. One more, Billy, before we get to Ron McGill here.
Ooh, wow. Decisions. Okay, here's Patrick Mahomes on what him and Travis Kelce's spirit animal would be.
Man, spirit animal nickname. I would like to be like a wolf. I feel like a wolf kind of running around with my pack and being able to be a leader and someone that continues to attack and continues to lead as much as possible.
What about your about Travis Kelce? What do you think his is?
Travis, man, it's got to be something funny. I think he'd be like a giraffe. You know, he's kind of just out there grazing around the field, trying to make something happen. You know, find his different things that he can run around and do stuff with, and he's always a good time.
Okay.
Travis, man.
Not great sound.
Okay, not great,
we'll just,
Billy.
You know what? We'll cut out that last one and just talk to Ron McGill.
Well, I think Billy was trying to do that, headed into Ron McGill, little animal, you know?
Yeah,
like
that, right. Synergy. Yeah. Did I use that right?
I got it, Billy.
I think so. Yeah. We did it, though.
Right.
No, it would have been good to have a meeting and not called you on a phone line and done this live.
But, Billy, just so Dan and Mike know, I mean, you chose that over Kendrick Perkins talking about James Harden going to strip clubs every night during the NBA Finals.
I have that.
No, but, Billy, that's not useful to me now. You instead threw us a giraffe and just useless sound. I'm here for doing this way where you get to analyze your own sound. But what kind of bad judgment is that? That sound immediately made me again not miss Super Bowl week. Like, hey, let's ask the quarterback what kind of spirit animal he would be, and also what would his tight end be, and he's wacky. Quarterback says a giraffe.
A giraffe, yeah.
Okay, I don't miss you or Super Bowl week anymore. You get out of here. We overplayed our hand with you.
We tried to
go about 13 minutes longer with you than we needed to. We had a hot streak with Cody and you, and then at the end we get it botched. So here's Ron McGill, and we don't have any shipping container here to talk to Ron McGill, but there were a number of things that I wanted to ask him today, beginning with, there was a whale found in the Everglades, and I didn't understand. I thought I was being fooled by the internet. I don't understand what it is that I just saw. So please, Ron, explain to me what kind of phenomenon this was this week. Where was this common knowledge somehow in your world, that there were damn whales in the Everglades?
Well, a whale can get into the Everglades because, remember, the Everglades empties out into the ocean. This is a problem that we're having with a lot of the ocean areas where a lot of this water is just emptying out with all these pollutants from the fertilizers and such. So since the water can empty out, something can certainly swim up and get in. That's where you get the brackish water. That's where you have things like crocodiles and animals that live in partly salt, partly fresh water. That's where the waters come together. So a whale, theoretically, sure, can go up and get up into the Everglades area, but it wouldn't be able to go very far because there's not deep enough areas there. It could become stranded very easily.
Ron, I recently went to the zoo. Had a wonderful time, by the way. I've noticed that you have a lot of massive iguanas. that are basically part of the attractions at this point because they're all sorts of neon orange. It's really cool to see. I was wondering, what's the most invasive pain in the ass animal that is always giving you fits over at the zoo?
Well, it pretty much is iguanas. Because iguanas, what they do is not only do they just leave their poop everywhere in these massive piles, but they also are compromising the exhibit areas because they make these tunnels into the side of the walls that collapse the walls and the exhibits kind of collapse down into the moats. So that's a real pain in the butt. Plus, every day you've got some patron going, oh my God, what if your big lizard's got out? You got to come over here. We got people calling up at the front, you know, like a 911 call. Oh my God, there's an animal out. It's poisonous. It's going to kill me. It's just a big old iguana. And people are panicking, especially the tourists who've never been down here before and don't realize that these things are now part of our natural environment. So they're just a pain in the butt just keeping up with them. They'll go in. They'll actually take other animals' foods. The gorillas, I've seen these gorillas, 400-plus-pound gorillas, eating their food, and an iguana walks up, this big male, starts bobbing his up and down, and the gorilla backs off, and the iguana takes his, like, his lettuce or his apple. I mean, give me a break. It can be a real pain in the neck.
The weather's going to dip down to 40 degrees down here, so many of those iguanas may start falling out of trees. What's your experience with this phenomenon? Do you have any things in place for what's coming up here?
Before you answer that, though, Ron, Pat Riley was mortified. Pat Riley, godfather of the Heat, because he did not know this about iguanas, about South Florida as a California guy. So when I say godfather of the Heat, I'm talking about also the temperature, because he buried a bunch of stiff iguanas were in his backyard, all of them stiff in his backyard, and he buried them. And in burying them, he likely killed them because they were not dead. They just react that way to the cold.
Right. A lot of them may have, well, some of them may have been dead. I mean, it depends on the size. I mean, the cold does kill some of them, but a great deal of them look like they're dead. They turn slate gray. Their eyes are sunken in their heads. They look like they're dead. What would be really cool is if he buried them, and all of a sudden, he starts seeing the dirt move, and they start coming out of the dirt like a Walking Dead type thing. How cool would that be? He'd probably freak out. Go, oh, my God, they're coming back from the dead. How cool would that be? Because that very possibly could happen.
Ron, it was very cool seeing there were so many great videos that people took and shared on social media of their animals playing in the snow. And I'm wondering, why do animals love the snow so much, Ron? Because there are crazy storms going on throughout the Northeast and Midwest, and I've seen dogs and pandas and everyone enjoying the snow. Why is that?
Well, look at kids. Look at kids, Stugatz. Why do kids enjoy the snow? It's just a matter of playing and jumping and sliding. It's this wonderful energy that you're able to get out. You know, I remember being a kid up in New York, growing up in New York City. I'd go out in shorts and a T-shirt when it was snowing out to throw a football because I just didn't feel the cold. Kids and a lot of animals don't feel the cold. You don't see, you know, tropical animals. You're never going to see a snake in the snow. You're never going to see any kind of reptile in the snow. You know, elephants may look like they're enjoying the snow. They don't enjoy the snow because elephants are very sensitive to the cold. But as far as pandas and, you know, dogs and cats, good layers of fur on them, they enjoy the snow the same way that kids enjoy the snow. You know, it's a place to play and be carefree and slide around and do all kinds of goofy stuff.
In answer to my question, do you have a protocol in place for when iguanas are falling out of trees this week?
Yes, we do. Well, unfortunately, generally speaking, the iguanas here have gotten very intelligent to where they don't go up in trees, which is why they're always surviving. These iguanas now are burrowing themselves into different burrows where they can stay warm enough to survive the cold. And that's the adaptation that's happening to a lot of iguanas now. Whereas, you know, 10 years ago when the first cold streaks came out, the first generation of iguanas were, you know, all over the place, they went up in the trees because that is their initial natural instinct, to go up into the trees to stay away from predators. Well, the ones that couldn't find trees, they made little holes in the ground. They're the ones that survived. So what happened? When they reproduced, that gene was passed on to that next generation, and now the majority of those go into holes instead of going up into trees. The ones that go into trees are the ones that are going to die. The ones that go into holes are the ones that are going to survive and eventually adjust to where you're going to be getting more and more of them further north in the state. I predict that within 5 years, you're going to have iguanas up in the panhandle, maybe even up in Georgia.
I want to go back for a second to something that Ron was talking about, a couple of different things. I want to go back to this whale in the Everglades in a second as well. But you mentioned iguanas might be the greatest annoyance. And when I was at the zoo with you recently here, when we met Dan Le Batard, the officially named hippo at the zoo that is now Dan Le Batard, I'd like to hear more about that hippo's life and how that hippo's life has changed and how those wax hippos named Dan Le Batard are selling. But before we get to that, didn't you tell me that cats were more of an annoyance than iguanas that day we were there?
Well, cats are by far the most dangerous animals for us here at the zoo. First of all, of course, they can predate on the smaller birds, but more importantly, they can also carry a disease called toxoplasmosis, which is deadly to things like kangaroos, any of the macropods. It can also be very dangerous to other cats. They go into different areas. They leave their feces behind. That's where the toxoplasmosis is found, and it can become deadly to several groups of animals here at the zoo. So, yes, cats, not to mention, things like mange and parasites, fleas, ticks, and that such like that, they are conduits for bringing that into the collection, which we try to protect with every means that we have. But we can't stop these cats that can jump over 8-foot fences and dig under little holes and, find their way into all kinds of things. So, yes, feral cats are the number one problem as far as non-native animals go in the zoo. They're just not considered an invasive species because they're a domesticated animal.
But didn't they eradicate at least one species from your zoo where you simply can't?
Yes, they did. They did. They eradicated kangaroos from the zoo. That's why we don't have kangaroos here at the zoo. Was our kangaroo herd was infected with toxoplasmosis brought in by cats. It was deadly to those kangaroos, and we felt that we can no longer have kangaroos because we cannot subject them to that type of exposure. Unless there's a way we can come up that we can guarantee that no cats can get in, that they can not transmit that toxo, unfortunately we're not going to have kangaroos or wallabies or those types of marsupials in the zoo again.
Did you learn that then with those deaths? Because that seems, I don't know whether that was a mistake, an oversight, if there's any way to keep cats off the premises.
We're trying, Dan. We try everything we can, building extended moats, building high fences. Cats are unbelievable physical, machines as far as their abilities to jump, to dig, to get under areas. They're so, they're like gymnastics, they're gymnasts of the animal world. They can get almost anywhere they want. So we're working on it because we would love to bring kangaroos back, but we can't do that unless we can guarantee we can keep the cats out. And we're trying everything we can. We've certainly reduced the population significantly by putting up extra fences, extra wiring and things like that, but I still see one every now and then.
It only
takes one.
Yeah. How is Dan Le Batard the Hippo doing? Any news on the Dan Le Batard the Hippo front that we can share with the audience?
I got to tell you something. Dan Le Batard the Hippo is doing magnificently well. As you may remember, he was born with a little bit of a palate problem, a congenital palate problem. He had to have some surgery, had some plastic surgery, had some of the best plastic surgeons come in there and fix that palate problem. He still has a little bit of the problem where the food kind of goes up into his nasal passages. But, man, he is thriving. He is eating like crazy. He loves the attention. People have come by and asked, where is Dan Le Batard the Hippo? So when we got him over to the Hippo, you see people taking pictures, and I see them taking selfies with Dan Le Batard behind them, and Dan's loving the attention. I mean, he's feeling like, well, he is. He is the most recognized celebrity status pygmy hippo on the face of the planet.
Look at that. All right, so if people want to support Dan Le Batard the Hippo and Dan Le Batard the Hippo's causes, Ron, because they're all about this hippo at the zoo that is officially named Dan Le Batard, introduced to others as Dan Le Batard. Our audience has been kind of amazing with Ron McGill and this endowment. We've been joking about the general size of Ron McGill's endowment and how it keeps growing here on the air, baby. But
it has been unbelievable.
What is the recent count? What can you tell the audience in terms of how it has supported the animals and you during this time?
I will tell you that the recent count is just from Dan Le Batard listeners alone over the past 2 weeks, we are approaching $40,000 plus. And this is from, I think it's 32 different states already, 32 different states in the country. Donations ranging from $5. One person donated $10,000, Dan. I was like beside myself. And then people doing things, having their companies match the donations. I mean, just incredibly generous people. I mean, everybody from, blue-collar workers to doctors and dentists. I mean, I'm just amazed at the diversity, the generosity, and like I say, they're all each going to get a personal letter from me, but they need to know that money is going to be protecting animals in the wild for generations to come.
You're welcome.
Well, where do they go, though, instead of taking the victory laps, Dugatz? How about telling them? Because you keep he keeps forgetting this. Ron is very bad at business matters, about money. He's kind of naive. And so you keep forgetting to tell people where to go,
well,
Ron.
Well, let me tell the audience, because they're listening to a podcast, and every time Ron McGill joins us, we put a link directly in that podcast description directly to Ron's sizable endowment.
Okay, and we love his sizable endowment around here, and we will not have anyone speak ill of his sizable endowment. It is something around here that we will embrace.
Okay, I'm getting it, Dan.
As a show. So, Billy, Billy, what just happened? We're going to talk to Ron for a second because Billy has fallen out of the sky. But, Billy, what just happened with you and Mike and the guest line?
Well, Billy called the guest line just now, and Woody called me out on it because I answered the guest line, ESPN radio guest line. Just muscle memory, I guess. We're not ESPN radio anymore. I could just pick it up and say phone.
Phone line, yes.
Say hello.
Billy, yes, or hello like normal people do. Billy, what do you have for Ron McGill?
Hey, Ron, it's Billy. I was reading that Southwest Airlines recently joined a bunch of other airlines in banning emotional support animals because they had things like peacocks, cats, pigs, miniature horses, comfort turkeys, like that on airplanes. But they're still allowing service dogs. So what makes dogs more of service or more qualified to be service animals than peacocks or cats or pigs?
Okay. It's not. There's a difference between a service animal and an emotional support animal. If it's an emotional support dog, it's not getting on the plane either. It has to be a certified service animal. Service animal is an animal that will alert if someone's about to have a diabetic seizure, will alert, if something physical, if they're going to have an epileptic seizure. These are dogs that provide that service or guide a person, like leading a blind person. So that's a dog that is providing a service. The problem with these other people with emotional support animals is they abuse that, okay? People going on a flipping plane with a duck in their hand, they go, oh, no, it makes me emotionally stable to have my duck with me, and then the duck is pooping all over the place. There's no control. I don't blame these airlines because a lot of people made it bad for the real people that really need the emotional support animals. When you start walking on with a goat on your plane, you can't do that, okay? This is not some third world country. People have to take into consideration the sanitary conditions for other passengers on the plane. That's the bottom line. So that's the difference. A service dog provides a service. It's not something you hold in your lap and says, oh, it just makes me calm. It makes me feel better. No, that doesn't work.
Controversial statements from Ron McGill. Do not bring a duck. You are outraged. Do not bring a duck on the airline as your comfort animal.
Thank you.
Roy, you're on with Ron McGill. Go ahead, Roy. What do you have? I'm going out to him like he's a caller because he's calling in on the phone line. Roy is on the phone line, no longer sponsored by ESPN. Roy, what do you have for Ron McGill? Super Bowl week.
Yeah, Ron, an elderly hiker startled a moose on a trail and ended up getting hurt by the moose. If that's unavoidable, what's a good way to calm down a moose and have the moose like go away?
If you're going to get hit by the moose, you got to play dead. You got to curl up. You got to protect the back of your head and just play dead because you're not going to outrun the moose. Now, if you see the moose coming at you, get behind a tree. Just keep on. It's going to look like a comedy of errors, but you just got to keep that tree between you and the moose. And if a moose is coming at you, it's either a cow defending her calves, then she's just going to stomp on you. But if it's a bull that's in rut, because what happens is when they come in the breeding season, guys, and their antlers are out, they just go nuts. The females make the males stupid at that time, and they will just go after anything that they think might be a threat to them being able to get to a female. So, if that's the case, you could be in bad shape. They're beyond beside themselves. It's not one of those things where you're going to put up your hand and go, hey, bear. No, that's not going to work. If a moose is coming at you, putting up your hands in the air and saying, hey, bear, is just going to inevitably end up with you getting gored.
Dominique, pause.
Mary Zou Retton.
Oh, my.
Whittingham, can you put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show? Did you know that the way to get away from a moose was just to hide behind a tree? At Lebatard Show. I want to update the polls before we get out of here, Chris. We haven't done it in a long time, and I'd like to do that.
It is Super Bowl week, and I do have a question for
Ron
McGill.
Hold on a second. I've got more animal questions. Just one more animal question. The whale in the Everglades, did they not discover that that was a new species of whale? How often is that discovered? Aren't they writing about it as if it's a new species of whale, Ron?
I have not heard the specifics on it. It could very well be. I doubt it. It might be a subspecies. It might be some animal that's kind of evolved to do something differently than the species it's evolved from. But I'll have to wait for the final stuff to come out, because to say it's a new species of whale, a new species, wow, that's a big stretch. When you have a megavertebrate that large to discover a new species, even though the ocean is huge and we know a lot less about the ocean, like I said, than we know about the moon, I still would be very surprised for a new species of whale.
All right, Ron, what's the single most important thing the Bucks need to do to beat the Chiefs?
What the heck was that?
What do you mean?
Just answer the question.
What's the single most important thing the Bucks need to do to...
Well, you know what? I think Stugatz blew his own line. I think he put the joke too far in the end instead of right in the middle. I think you were supposed to get sick in the middle. So this doesn't feel like Super Bowl week, and this is the latest example. Let's finish off with a better closing question for Ron McGill, please.
Hi, Ron. It's good to talk to you. I had a question. Is it true that the male billy goat attracts females by urinating on its own face?
It's true. I missed you, man. You guys have a great week.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.